Imagine unlocking a version of yourself that's unstoppable, where mental barriers no longer hold you back. Listen to Mentally Stronger with me, Amy Morin, therapist and international best-selling author, here to guide you on a journey to reaching your greatest potential. Every Monday, I bring you into conversations with some of the most fascinating minds, experts, authors, entrepreneurs, athletes, and musicians. They don't just share stories, they reveal the mental strategies that propelled them to the top. But here's the real magic. At the end of each episode, I break down their wisdom into practical therapist-approved advice. In my solo episodes, I dive deep into the techniques that build mental strength. It's like having your own personal therapy session as you discover how to turn these insights into steps you can take right now. This podcast isn't just for those facing mental health challenges. It's for anyone who wants to push their limits, achieve peak performance, and truly thrive. Are you ready to unlock your full potential? Then it's time to become mentally stronger. Subscribe to Mentally Stronger with therapist Amy Morin, available wherever you love to listen to podcasts.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. The story you're about to hear, I love it, and I think you will too. It's about two people. One of them is Tiffany, who is a probation officer. That means she sometimes works in a courtroom. And the other person is Brett. Brett and Tiffany started dating a couple of years ago, and they ended up falling in love with each other. So recently, it came time for Brett to pop that all-important question. And even though they had talked about marriage, so it was already on both their minds, Brett wanted to propose in such a way that it would take Tiffany completely by surprise. And I think it's safe to say he succeeded. Brett conspired with some of Tiffany's co-workers, including the judge, and came up with a plan. He would be dressed in a prisoner jumpsuit, handcuffed, and brought into the courtroom to appear before the judge. And Tiffany would be sitting there to see it all happen. And the nice thing is, the whole thing was recorded, so you can see how it happened, too. I'll have the video on my website at whatwasthatlike.com/09. I love a great prank, and to me, a great prank has to have a couple of elements. First, it has to be something that's completely planned out in detail. And second, it has to be one that has everyone feeling good about it afterward. And this one is definitely both. I talked with Brett about how he planned this, how he worked with the people at the courthouse, and how he felt when it was actually happening, and the publicity it's received also. People really love this story. And I also got some insight from Tiffany about what was going through her mind as the whole thing played out right in front of her. I'll have Brett's contact information in the show notes for this episode, along with the video, as I mentioned. And of course, you can always see more pictures and other great content when you follow me on Instagram at What Was That Like. And now, here's Brett. How long in advance did you plan this little event?
It's been about 2 years. I started, you know, a lot long after I found out where she worked. So, yeah, it got my gears rolling.
So she made the mistake of revealing her employment to you.
That's right.
Well, all right. Well, let's get a little bit of background on this. So you guys have been dating for about 2 years. Is that right?
That's right.
How did you meet?
We actually met on Plenty of Fish online.
Oh,
so we had some good conversations before we actually met face to face. And I think that's what kind of helped us connect on the level that we did and made it where I knew that she's the one that I wanted to finally pull the trigger on, so to speak. I've never been married. This will be her third. So it's kind of making mine and hers, because the first two for her were bad. So I guess it's really both of our first official love of a lifetime love story.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, this the thing that you planned, the thing that you came up with, I mean, it can only be described as epic. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was thinking of ways to really surprise her. I wanted it to be epic because, of course, that's what our love story is. And she's a probation officer. So I was like, well, do I get arrested? And then when she comes down to bail me out, do it then. And I was like, no. I'm going to have them bring me in court right in front of her where she really can't react. And believe it or not, I wrote the dialogue that I did. That was the night before. I stayed up all night pacing. I'm sure she was wondering what I was doing, but that was all the night before. But I knew what I wanted to, where I wanted to be. I wanted to be standing in front of the judge in the jumpsuit with the shackles and just let it all go.
That is, I watched the video that you told me about that you gave me the link to, which, by the way, will be on the website for anybody that wants to watch it. And man, you are a performer. Have you done any acting, any kind of drama, anything like that in the past?
No, sir. I did show choir in high school. So,
this, you were in control of the situation. I mean, it was clear that you had kind of scripted it out, so you knew exactly how you wanted it to play out. But it was such a contrast seeing you knowing exactly what was going on and exactly the way you wanted it, the way you planned it, and Tiffany
right.
being completely, shocked isn't even enough of a word. She was, you could hear her try to breathe several times. You literally took her breath away when you did this.
Yeah, she wasn't expecting it at all. And she has said several times, well, if I ever get a ring, she had been wanting me to propose and I kept playing it off. We had done numerous things. Like earlier in the summer, we went on a cruise and all of her friends were like, oh, he's going to propose to you. He's going to propose to you. And she slipped up and said that that's what they were telling her. I was like, that's not my style, right? I'm not going to propose on a cruise ship. It's just.
That would be a little cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, like, mine wasn't cheesy enough. Right. I haven't done any acting. That was the question. But I'm good at posturing, I guess. So mm-hmm. to say. Yeah.
Well, was part of the shock because it is kind of out of your character?
That is correct. She never would have seen a prank coming from me because I'm pretty straightforward with her. I think that is out of character for me. And two, she never would have expected to see me in court for any legal mishap or anything, because I don't get in trouble. So yeah, it was definitely a shock to see me brought in shackles.
Yeah, you can see on her face that it was a shock when you see the pictures. What was your strategy when you first decided, okay, I want to do this? How did you start planning this? What was your first step and how did you map it all out?
For the first, all right, I'll give you an idea. In July of this year, which gave me, no, it was actually end of June, I finally told a couple of people, I told my mom, her mom, and Dana, who is her supervisor, the girl that actually got the ball rolling on this. Now, Tiffany is really good friends with all of her coworkers. She's good friends with Dana. They're really good friends. And Dana has been every time I'd see Dana, she'd be like, why haven't you proposed yet? And I'm like, oh, come on, quit giving me the bag on this. And so, we would talk about, how great she thinks our relationship is. And believe it or not, when Tiffany and I first met and I went and met Dana. After meeting me and talking to me, she went to Tiffany and she goes, he's going to be your husband one day. So she'd been our biggest cheerleader. And, you know, she's like, when you're ready to go pick out a ring, take me with you. And so I knew I wanted to do this on our 2 year kind of meeting anniversary of dating. And so around the end of June, I spoke to Dana. I was like, okay, look, I'm ready to do it. This is what I want to do. You know, we're going to go pick out the ring. And so basically it was just that a couple months before I had to kind of get that ball rolling and make sure. So there wasn't much planning as far as the logistics of the courtroom. But
it seems like there would have been a lot of planning.
Right. Well,
but Dana was your inside person then.
Correct.
Okay.
Dana got with the lead prosecutor in that court, who's in the municipal court. And, she squared it away with the judge. She squared it away with the court clerk. And, after Dana going to the prosecutor, it all kind of, everybody was like, oh my goodness, he's really fixing to do this. Let's all make it happen. You know, it wasn't like we had, because they were all going to be in on it. And it's such a close little circle there, because they only meet, this group are only in there on Wednesdays. So yeah, municipal court is held on Wednesdays. So once everybody knew what to do, they all kind of,
it became a group project,
huh? Right. And they all picked out what role they wanted to play, but it was all down to me. It was crazy. Cause when I got there that morning, they were all like, okay, so how are you going to do this? So I had to like, man, this was all like with maybe 20 minutes planning of how I was going to have them bring me in, how I wanted the judge to react to me, how I wanted to do it. I mean, there was literally,
I thought that was all way ahead of time. How did you get the jumpsuit and shackles and everything? Where did that all come from?
That was all part of my ideas, how I wanted to be. So I came in Tuesday morning. The deal was on Wednesday. So I came in Tuesday, the 14th. To meet with the court clerk, because I had met her before, but I really didn't know her that well. So, and she was the one kind of coordinating at the scene. And I asked her, all right, so you do have the jumpsuit, right? And she's like, well, we don't have it yet, but we're working on getting that. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's the shackles in the jumpsuit are,
those are critical elements. Yeah.
Key to this working. They're like, don't worry about it. We'll make sure we get it. And then, they informed me that they were going to have hidden cameras everywhere, which initially I hadn't even thought about recording it, but they were like, you're going to need to have it recorded. People are going to want to see this, family members. So that was all being handled. And I get there that morning and they had two jumpsuits. They had I told them probably a 3 or 4X would be fine. They had a 2X and a 6X. So I'm glad that they got that 6X. Of course the shackles, they were hard for me to fit into. I'm a big guy. So, but yeah, that, to be perfectly honest with you, Scott, it was the planning in my head of what I wanted to do had taken some time, but actually getting it, carrying it out was, and maybe 30 minutes of me on Tuesday talking to him, and then coming in at like court was at 10. I came in at 9 and judge probably rolled in about 9:30. I went to his chambers. He's like, okay, so how are we going to do this? I'm like, oh, let me catch my breath. Okay. This is what we're going to do. And I just laid it out there. They had two of the police officers in there with me and I was like, okay, I want you guys to kind of bring me in.
Yeah, they were escorting you in like you were a dangerous criminal.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's hard to kind of jump around, but let me tell you how it was going. So to get Tiffany there without her knowing, they told her that they were going to be doing an interrogation in the back room, which they have an interrogation room, outside the door that they brought me in. And they do that from time to time. So she wouldn't have any, she wouldn't think anything was off hearing commotion or whatnot going on back there. They brought her in kind of early, telling her there was going to be a meeting to get her in and where they wanted her so she wouldn't run into me. Once again, she had no clue. And
she always sits in the same place.
Right.
She's in the courtroom.
Right.
Okay.
And so she sits to the left of the judge. And then the door that I came in from was in the right, at the right behind the judge. So it was, we were kind of away from her. So I'm in the judge's chamber and I say, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be back here and I kind of want to cause a commotion in back. That way, I want to cause a commotion and then I want one of the officers to come out there and stop the judge because he's going to go in and start reading off the docket. He's fixing the call court in session. And so I want to start
like any other day.
Yeah. It was court day. Everything was where she would not suspect a thing.
Right.
And then I start making a commotion and then one of the bailiffs comes in and says, excuse me, Your Honor, but we have an unruly guy back here. We need to go ahead and get everything done with him, get him out of here. He's causing too much of a commotion. So, and I said, after that, they're going to bring me in and I'm just going to take over. That's all I told him. All that he had to do was start reading out the docket. And then they come in and say, hey, this is what's, we got an unruly guy back here. Bring me in. And literally that's what happened.
Well, that's good for him. He just had to follow your lead.
Right. The judge, that's all he had to do. When I was being brought in, he's like, okay, sir, we're not going to have any of this commotion in my courtroom. That was his ad lib. And then, they brought me in. I kind of kept my head down, kind of like I was ashamed, but I did make eye contact with her for like a split second. And I saw this just the look of utter confusion. And she said, when she saw me look at her, she was like, you looked like you were so ashamed and had so much regret in your eyes.
And, like a dog that had just gotten into the trash can in the kitchen or something, right?
Right. You want to know really what was going through my mind at that time was, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And not because I'm fixing to get engaged, but I'm fixing to, take this floor and everybody's going to be watching me. I have to, it's kind of a stage fright moment, but also, hey, I'm fixing to be an engaged man. That's kind of, this kind of could make you feel a little nervous.
Yeah. So, a lot of overwhelming emotions coming at the same time. Totally. Yeah.
And that's something that I had not, thought about how I was going to react. It was more about how she was. But when I came through the door, I was like, game on. And like I said, I had kind of gone over how I wanted to say what I wanted to say, which it was great because he did follow, the judge did follow my lead. So it made it easy for me to go through what I wanted to say. And I kind of stumbled, not really stumbled, but I sat there and was trying to think what was I wanting to say, but it worked. The effect worked. I wasn't what I was going for, but it actually worked better. Like the pauses between stuff, because I was trying to remember my lines that I wrote, of course.
Right. But if it was real life, you would have been stumbling and
correct.
And pausing anyway. Right.
It worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So a whole lot of pieces had to fall in place for this to really happen successfully. Were you worried, with so many people working together behind the scenes, were you worried that any of them might slip up and she'd find out ahead of time?
I was kind of concerned because the office that she works in, things get around there like wildfire. Dana really kept it under wraps there. You know, not too many people even knew what was going on. I told absolutely nobody besides our parents and Dana. So I knew on my end it was going to be pretty hush hush. Now, after the fact, our kids, she has two kids from previous, and I have one, and they were like, how come you didn't tell us? I'm like, I would have never been able to pull it off. I told as few people as I possibly could for that simple reason, because she couldn't have a inkling of what was fixing to go on, or it wouldn't work.
And you also, part of the thing, you had hidden cameras all around, or somebody put hidden cameras around the courtroom for various video and picture angles. Were you worried that she would notice those?
What I was told was they were going to have hidden cameras. So I didn't worry about the hidden cameras, but there was also one of the officers had a camera, but he didn't come into the courtroom and start recording until they brought me in. Same for my mom, and her mom also had their phones. They allowed them to bring their phones because of, you know, of course we wanted to get every angle of it that we could. Right. And,
were they there though?
They were there, but they were outside the courtroom. And, okay. And like us, they had her kind of sequestered at like 9 o'clock so that we could get everybody there without her seeing them or knowing that anything was different. Dana, who isn't normally at that court on that day, actually came in to kind of distract her a little bit too before it went on. And, you know, and at first they thought that might be kind of, you know, make her think something was up, because like I said, she's usually not there at the court, but she told her I had to come by and pick up some stuff, yada, yada. So it kind of kept her occupied over there in her area. And normally before court, she's able to work on her paperwork or whatever right there at the desk. So she wasn't paying attention to what was going on in the back of the court or, you know, in the chambers around.
Now, in the video where we see her reaction, and for a brief second, she looks over to her left, to the lady standing to her left, like, what's going on? Is that Dana?
That is Dana.
Okay. All right. So we'll see her then.
And it's funny too, because did you see the guy that walks up to her, like right after they bring me in?
I didn't. I've only watched the video once so far, okay. So I don't remember that, but I'll look at it again.
The video the link I sent you, it has some of the hidden camera footage, and then it's got another view kind of up in the corner, and then it pans to another one, the court clerk's shot of it. You may not see him, but he's an attorney friend who was told about it because, you know, Dana wanted to have everybody that is kind of in their circle be there to see it. Well, he kind of showed up right when everything was fixing to happen, and he walked over to Tiffany. He's like, is that your boyfriend? Kind of, because he thought he was drunk. And Dana, you can see Dana saying, get over here. And Tiffany kind of like, move. It was because she was completely shocked. I mean, she didn't even pay any attention to what he was saying to her.
That's good.
You know, that's, yeah, I commanded it. Mm-hmm. I had full command of the room.
Man, did you have a hard time keeping a straight face at all?
No, because I was kind of petrified myself. You know, I have performed, like I told you, I sing. So I've dealt with stage fright a lot. I mean, I do have stage fright. So it's actually, I was able to stay in my head and handle it that way. You know, it's a lot different than if you're trying to remember tunes and words, you know, you slip up, but you know, I was able to come out there and have that emotion because I was actually feeling, you know, it worked in my favor.
Yeah, definitely.
you know, I am ashamed to be up here in shackles and in a jumpsuit, especially because my girlfriend's a probation officer. How, you know, I'm bringing a lot of bad publicity on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it wasn't hard. Now that I look at it, it wasn't hard for me to keep that mad straight face. Yeah. I didn't smile or laugh at all. No.
All right. So take us from the point where they're bringing you into the room. What did you say and just what happened?
Well, they bring me in and I come and stand in front of the judge and, you know, he's saying, hey, we're not going to have this in my courtroom. And I say, Your Honor, with all due respect, there's no need for this court to examine me. I'm guilty. Guilty of being madly in love with the girl of my dreams. She's my best friend and I will forever love her. I guess that's something to that effect. And, you know, I kind of spreaded that out so that it would take a little bit longer. I had already asked the judge after I'll kind of pause and I nod at you and then you can call her down so that she can be in front of me. Well, after we get to that point and he goes, Miss Allison, will you please come down here? I turn to her, you know, you can't see it on the video. You actually will be able to see it in other videos, but she comes down. Well, actually I turned to her and that's when she says, I'm shaking so bad. He's in handcuffs. This isn't funny. And being there, you know, that it's kind of hilarious when you're watching it on video because you kind of know what's going on, but she had no clue. And she's saying that, and I'm like, this is the love of my life. And she looks like she's fixing to have a heart attack. And so I started feeling kind of bad, you know, in that moment. And I'm like, do I need to run over there and be like, no, baby. It's just a prank. Well, not really a prank, but what am I doing? In that moment, I was like, man, right now she is really, really having a hard time. So that was the one moment where I said, okay, you got to follow through with this. And so when she starts to walk down, you can see me and I'm just like, I'm really matter of fact, and I'm holding out my hand. And I'm like, come on, let's get this over with. Cause I knew she was struggling there for a minute.
Yes. And she seemed like she was very hesitant to approach you.
Yeah. Well, cause she was beside herself. I mean, literally she couldn't fathom that I had done anything to get in trouble. And then here I am professing my guilt. You don't do that in court. Just so the legal mind of her kind of came out and she's like, she wanted to be like, no, hold on. She wanted to kind of interject when I'm saying that I'm guilty. And then she realizes that I'm talking about her, you know? So it's a lot of emotions running through her mind at once. And then when he calls her down there and she sees me turn to her and I'm reaching into my pocket, I think that in that moment she kind of says, wait, what's going on? And that's when she's kind of hesitating, like, what really is going on here? But that's when she starts to cry and starts to smile, you know, where she goes, oh.
Yeah, it was complete confusion up to that
point. Oh, yeah, to that point. Like I said, when she comes down and says, this isn't even funny. Yeah, she knew something was about to change. I slipped out of my, because I didn't have the shackles completely latched.
Okay.
So when he called her down there, I slipped out of them, and then I'm reaching out my hand to her and fumbling in my pocket to get the ring. So I think that's when it hit her. So she's kind of coming down from that adrenaline rush. And.
Mm-hmm. But you can't, it's not something when she's in such complete shock, yeah. You don't just come down from that right away.
Either. Correct. Yeah. I thought she was getting close to stroking out on me for a minute.
Yeah. That would not have been funny.
So then, okay. So she came over to you, and then take us from there.
She came over to me, and I proceeded with all of my court puns, my love court puns. I told her she's the one that I want to represent me in this trial we call life. And I asked her to marry me. You know, I did it. I guess that was the only thing that was old fashioned about it. I got down on my knee and asked her. And then, I told her I'm ready for my life sentence, baby, which that was the one thing. That was the line that I knew from the beginning. I mean, that one, it had to be in it because, you know, I always joke with her about it. You know, I never got married because I never wanted to be tied to somebody that I didn't love, or, you know, it's like, you might as well be your funeral. Right. But, that was the one thing that from the very first, very thought about that I was going to say that I'm ready for my life sentence, baby. And, that, I guess that was after I asked her to marry me, and she said, of course, you know, cause everybody was like, well, did she say yes? Did she say yes? People that had seen it, because she's really still in shock. And she says, of course, you know, it was definitely how I wanted it to turn out. It worked out great. I guess sometimes you're your own worst critic. And I was like, there's things that I could have done differently, but the effect, it was a big surprise. You know, she never saw it coming, and she said yes. And so now we're engaged to be married.
Yeah, couldn't have worked out any better.
That's right.
Okay, this is Scott. I'm jumping in here in the middle of the interview because I want you to hear something at this point in the conversation. If you watch the video, you'll see Tiffany's reaction, and you'll see she literally was speechless. But this show is called What Was That Like? And I wanted to actually hear from her to find out what was going through her head at that moment as she was seeing things unfold right there in the courtroom. And she sent me a few of her thoughts. So here's Tiffany, and then we'll get back to Brett and the rest of the conversation.
I got called in early for, you know, a meeting that we were supposedly having. And I had actually asked the court clerks where everybody was because the judge hadn't shown up and the prosecutors hadn't shown up. And I was just told they were running behind, so I didn't think anything about that because that's pretty normal. I was told not to go in the back of the, you know, the courthouse because there was an interrogation going on. And again, didn't think much about that because that was pretty normal. Sitting there getting ready to start session, and I'm going through paperwork, and you know, the next thing I know is I'm hearing a bunch of stuff in the back, and there's, you know, people yelling, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, these inmates today, they're getting pretty rowdy back there. And then, you know, I hear one of them say, you know, my girlfriend works here and she'll get me out of anything. And I'm like, oh my goodness, who is this guy's girlfriend, and who could that be, you know? And then here comes Brett, and when he walked through the door, my heart, it just sank. I was speechless. There's just, I had no words for that moment. The handcuffs and the jumpsuit, and it was, oh my God, what could he have possibly have done? Yeah, it just took me by surprise. It was something way out of character, so I didn't really know what to think. All I knew was I had to hurry up and figure something out and get him out of whatever mess he was in. I think it finally dawned on me when he was in front of the judge and he went to, you know, plead guilty to his love. And he started talking about me being his best friend. That's when it kind of hit me, like, you know, oh my God, that's me. I'm his best friend, you know? So I think at that point in time is when I realized this is happening. In fact, when it all happened in the courtroom, I was so focused on Brett, the jumpsuit and the handcuffs, that I didn't even notice, you know, people filming. I never noticed our moms out there videoing. I never noticed an attorney walking up to me and talking to me. I was strictly focused on Brett. I have never once dreamed that a proposal coming from him would be anything ordinary. I always knew it would be something spectacular, but just the Brett's style is, you know, maybe renting out airspace on TV for a commercial or, you know, having something on a billboard. Never dreamed that he would go to that extreme and put forth so much effort into doing that to truly make, you know, that moment so special. It was an epic day in my life. I wouldn't change anything about it. I love all the effort that was put into it by so many people.
And now back to Brett and the rest of our conversation. Did you have any idea that this would be so popular? I mean, that so many people would want to see it?
I didn't let you know. I initially wasn't even, it never crossed my mind to record it with it being in court, you know. And I thought maybe they would have cameras because some courts do have closed circuit TV, but there wasn't in this court. And it never crossed my mind at the beginning, but Tiffany's mother didn't think she would be able to be there. And we were everybody was kind of worried about if people were there, would she think something was up?
Of course, because her mom and your mom aren't usually in the courtroom, right?
Correct. I'd tried to think of ways for them to be there and it not be at, like, when I had to come there for a speeding ticket. But then they would have come to her for the speeding ticket, you know, or said, hey, we're going to be in court, you know. So I never thought about it. But then when they were like, we're not going to be able to be there, you have to, somebody better be recording it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you can't bring your phone or stuff in there. But that's why when I went to Dana, I said, look, you know, my mom, her mom, you know, people that I've spoke to have expressed their, you know, that they wanted to see this. Is there any way that we could record it? So that's where the recording it came into play. And then the Facebook Live that her mother posted, you know, got, you know, 10,000 hits. And we were shocked. And it was being shared, you know, repeatedly. So at that moment we knew, man, wow, people really like this story. People really love it. And now that I think about it, with so much negativity in the world, something like this, I mean, it is good. It's good news. It's not the same old humdrum stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that's great to see.
I can see why people, and true, I want everybody to see how much I love Tiffany with all of my heart. And I wanted her proposal to be huge for her, but man, it's big for a lot of people. We've had a lot of people saying, you know, you're making it hard on other guys. You know, they're going to have to come with something, you know.
You set quite a standard here. Yeah.
I raised the bar. Yeah, I really did.
So this happened in the morning. Did she have to work the rest of the day?
Yes, she did. She was able to take a break, and you can see in the video where we're all in the back, you know, hugging and part of that was edited in. It may have been like 10 minutes because he let her come back there and at least hug me and kiss me and slap me a couple times. And and then she went back to work. I went back to work. Matter of fact, I went into work before then. You know, I go into work and open up. And I spoke to her that morning on the phone. I was at work. She was at work. And then here I am. two hours later, she's like, were you even really at work? I was like, you darn right I was. I wasn't going to give you no, you weren't going to have any clue what was going on.
But this must have been, this whole thing must have been the talk at the courthouse that day and that week even.
Oh yeah. I know, like I said, a lot of her coworkers were wishing that they could have been there, but yeah, everybody loves it. Everybody loves us too. Like I said, they knew we were going to be married. So
Dana's now saying, see, I told you, right? Mm-hmm. I predicted it.
For sure.
Did you set a wedding date yet?
Tentatively. I think the reason I picked our 2-year was because when we first started talking about marriage early on, I told her, well, if we're together in 4 years, I'll marry you. And so that was kind of like the halfway point. But we had talked about 2020 early on. So November 2020, maybe we'll announce it for sure.
I want to ask you one last question. What do you love most about Tiffany?
The thing that I love about Tiffany the most is the fact that I've never been able to be myself and show somebody the true me and love somebody as much as I want to love them. And she allows me to do that because I really do have a big heart. You know, I really do love with all that heart, and we're able to share that love together. And I've never had anybody that was on that level. So
now you do.
I truly do. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. If anyone wants to contact you, I'm going to have your email address on the website. And that's for this episode, as well as pictures. And we'll have that video on there for people to see, which is a great video. People, if you're listening to this right now, just on audio, you got to go to the website and watch the video. It's pretty cool. So thanks again for sharing your story. It's great.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Thanks for listening to this episode. My goal for each show is to introduce you to people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you want to help support the show, you just need to subscribe, and that way you'll never miss an episode. You can click on any of the subscribe buttons on the website, which is whatwasthatlike.com. You'll see all the links right there at the top where you can subscribe directly to this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or on whatever app you use to catch your podcasts. And you'll see there are also links to Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow us there, and I hope you do. And if you really want to connect with me and get in on the discussion with other listeners to this show, you can join our private Facebook group. You can find that at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. And of course, you can always email me directly at scott@whatwasthatlike.com. Or just go to the website and click on contact. I'd love to hear what you think of this episode or a previous episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show where we'll once again ask the question, what was that like?